Good evening. It is Wednesday. I'm Michael Cohen with producer Jesse Weiser. Thank you for joining us this evening on today's program. Stagflation, is it here already? Some say yes, others say not yet, but is there any way for the U.S. economy to avoid it at this point? I'll be joined by financial expert Ed Butowski to talk about that. And Good Morning America co-host Robin Roberts announcing that she has bone marrow cancer, although she's lucky enough to have a donor match, her own sister. But how hard is it to find a proper organ donor match in the U.S.? You will find out. But first, it looked like a second Detroit bridge between Detroit and Canada was still years away after Governor Snyder's proposed plan didn't even make it out of a Senate committee last year. But this Friday, the governor is set to announce that he is charging ahead with the project. We'll be getting two very different perspectives on this story. But let's begin with Mickey Blashfield. He's the head of the government relations for the company that owns the Ambassador Bridge, which is, of course, owned by the Maroon family, which has been very strongly opposed to the project. Mickey joins us now. Thank you so much for coming on 1320 WILS to talk about this, Mickey.
Hey, Michael. How are you?
Very good. Very good. Now, you know, one thing we're hearing from the governor's office is that this plan will not involve any Michigan taxpayer money. It's being funded by the Canadian government, some funds from the U.S. government. When it comes to the construction and operation costs of the bridge, that's going to be financed by the contractor that builds it. So why should state residents oppose the idea?
Well, there's no such thing as a $2 billion bridge for free. The legislature saw that after hundreds of hours of hearings and thousands of pages of documents. The land that would be taken off the tax rolls were the jobs that would be displaced to build that bridge. Those are permanent losses, as well as the impact on the existing crossings. Their own studies show that it would take 70% of the Ambassador Bridge traffic, 24% of the tunnel traffic, and 16 to 18% of the Blue Water Bridge traffic. So it's going to cost us dearly, let alone the inability to make ends meet for the tolls paying for a bridge. It just can't add up.
It would also generate extra trade and traffic, would it not? I mean, it could very well bring in a lot more money.
No, not necessarily, because building a garage doesn't mean that I'm going to have a nice new Cadillac to put in it. Building a bridge doesn't generate traffic. It only is there to serve traffic that exists. And unfortunately, as we've all seen, the traffic has dropped near 40%. But that's the reason that we initiated the People Should Decide, the ballot committee, to put the ballot question on the ballot for the November election, so that the people can decide if this bridge really ought to be a priority as opposed to a lone bureaucrat going it alone without the legislature.
Well, you know, on the other side, the argument is that this proposal did not get out of Senate committee. The Senate should have had the chance to vote on it, and it should have been able to be addressed by the full legislature. I mean, what kind of political pressure is being put on state lawmakers when this project came about, and why did it not get out of committee?
Michael, this proposal has been voted on 9 separate times, all voted down. It failed to clear committee last fall, but every year for the last, since 2006, the annual budget has had restrictions that nothing can go forward without a vote of the legislature. No money can be spent without a vote of the legislature. So this legislature and the last 5 sessions have voted on this bridge, and it hasn't been favorable for the governor's position. He hasn't made his case.
I wonder now, if the plan were to move ahead, the Maroon family can, of course, bid on the project itself. Is that something that the Maroons would seriously consider?
I'm not sure how that would work. I mean, the bottom line is we have no idea what's going on with this press conference coming up, because anybody with a microphone and an expensive PR firm can hold a press conference is quite another to manage a busy border. As far as bidding on it, I can't imagine why we would bid on traffic that we're serving today.
Now, let me ask you about this ballot initiative, because at this point, lawmakers, they're making sure the money's not coming out of the transportation budget. They're also indicating that it won't be coming out of the MEDC in any way. So it sounds like state lawmakers are making sure that funding this bridge will not be coming out of any kind of state funding. Are you pleased with that? Do you think that ensures that taxpayer money won't be infected at least that way?
Well, I think that's a very, very good start, and it shows their due diligence on this issue. The unfortunate thing is you can't fight a shell game as it keeps being moved around. The bottom line is the fact of the matter is we've spent over $40 million of taxpayer money that could have gone to fill potholes, could have gone to expand or complete road connections in various communities. $40 million on a study that never showed how they could make ends meet with this bridge. So there's already taxpayer dollars. There's tons of travel and negotiation and other discussions. But the real point is, before this goes further, the people ought to have a say with that, and that's what the ballot initiative will do. And whatever the governor does really doesn't impact that. In fact, it makes it all the more poignant.
I'm talking to Mickey Blashfield. He's the head of government relations for the Detroit International Bridge Company. Now, if you could tell me exactly what is the proposal going to call for? Then, is it basically going to say that the governor cannot proceed with a plan at all until what?
The ballot initiative indicates that until the people vote, in other words, it's got to be put forward on a ballot. Until the people have a say that you can't build an international bridge, and that's not that's actually quite lenient, because there's good constitutional history with that. First of all, when the Ambassador Bridge was built in 1927, we had to stand for a referendum. But more importantly, and more on point of what people are concerned about, is the cost overruns and whatnot. The 1963 Constitution has the Mackinac Bridge in that Constitution, indicating that we could assume debt for the Mackinac Bridge. And any constitutional history buffs there would know that in the 1950s, when Governor Sophie Williams said the Mackinac Bridge won't cost us a nickel, he was right. It's cost us millions and millions and millions of dollars. There is no such thing as free infrastructure, and that's why we want this upfront for the people to be able to say yes or no,
where
the people can determine the priorities.
So rather than having simply the governor and the legislature agree to move ahead, this would have to now be a ballot proposal for a bridge project to move ahead before a bridge could even be built.
Well, remember that the only reason that this is that this really is moving forward is because the legislature did say no, but a lone bureaucrat has decided that he knows more than they do and is going forward. This just simply says, yes, before make your case to the people, just like they would do with a gas tax, just like they would do with the property rights issues. All that sort of thing is something that we can trust the people
with. You have to acknowledge that we are relying on the Ambassador Bridge as the sole bridge connection in southeastern Michigan to connect to Canada, and many are concerned that's the case. It could be a security issue, or certainly a trade issue. But tell me, let me
respond to that, Michael, because the Ambassador Bridge is not the sole crossing in Detroit. There's the tunnel,
right,
the rail tunnel.
True.
And in the same corridor is the Blue Water Bridge. All that was studied in the NHTSA or DRIC proposals. And the bottom line is there's no reason that we, especially with traffic being down the way that it is, and security being up the way that it is, there's no impact on the on the legitimate trade that crosses the border.
Now it's clear why the Maroons have a motive to oppose this bridge. It would pull traffic away from the Ambassador Bridge. But what is the motive in your mind then for the governor, other than the one that he expresses, which is that he wants this extra redundancy at this major trade crossing?
Well, the last time I checked, the governor is not responsible for Homeland Security or for redundancy. If he were, we'd have two I-94s, two I-96s, and two state capitals. The real thing, and this was what their own study showed, was that it's much better to kind of harden the target, if you will, and have one location to secure, and do what we've done here at the Ambassador Bridge, and that's been expand the customs plazas, because that's the bottleneck. In this case, it's 2 kilometers of Canadian roadway that seemed to be the roadblock. And last I checked, it's a heck of a lot cheaper to expand 2 kilometers of roadway in Canada than it is to build a $2 billion border crossing a mile away from the current one.
Mickey Blashfield, head of government relations for the Detroit International Bridge Company. Mickey, thank you so much for joining us this evening.
Thank you, Michael. All the best.
When we come back, we're going to talk to Tom Shields of the Marketing Resource Group. He represents, of course, the other side of the argument. And we'll get his perspective on this project. That is next. I'm Michael Cohen. This is 1320 WILS.